speaker coming out now. It's going to be Blake and Cisco Ninja. They're going to be talking about Don't DDoS Me, Bro. Let's give him a big hand. DEF CON, welcome. Come on.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. All right, first off, I want to apologize to you guys. I've been sick for the past few days, so my throat's kind of jacked up. So I know a lot of y'all are having a good time here out in Vegas. You know my good time's been like hot toddies and cough drops mostly, but Blake's going to be doing the majority of the talking. So, and you know, really out of the two of us, he's kind of like the better half, so to speak, so you'll be really glad about him talking instead of me anyways. The bottom line for our talk is kind of like, it's practical DDoS defense. I mean, it's all about the cost. We want to drive the attacker's cost up without driving your cost up. And so we're not actually trying to like promote any high price stuff. It's you know, pretty much mostly open source. So we're gonna go and first off, we're gonna start out by showing you some of the attacks that we've seen, show you some of the mitigation efforts, and then if we have time for it, you know, talk about some lulls that we've had in the process. You know, I never would have thought something like the ping of death would be like so popular and cause so much damage. I mean, that thing came out like 20 years ago, and nowadays it's been like revamped with Daedric armor and in the form of GET POST request, you know, coming from every overseas botnet you can think of. And in fact, there was a guy that came up to us yesterday and was more or less like, man, you got on that Soldier X shirt. I DDoS the hell out of those guys. Like, okay, what for? He's like, oh, they had my information all messed up, all that HDB, and just everything was all wrong. I'm like, did you hit up the admin? Nah, man, I just DDoSed him, man. Okay. I mean, like, you didn't send an email or anything. You know, we've got IRC forums. Nah, man, I was just DDoSing. It's all about the DDoS. So that's the mentality, I guess, that some of our opponents have. So, you know.
Okay, so you had a good idea on some of the humor we're going to do. Show of hands, who's actually here to defend against DDoS? Okay. And who's here maybe like DDoS is Soldier X trying to figure out maybe a better way to hone their craft? Didn't really see any Guy Fawkes masks, so. Okay. So anyways, I always like humor, so let's start out with a little bit of that. So this is kind of how the attackers, this is basically how they vision themselves, right? So I mean, that's what they're thinking. So then, what we're going to try to do is give you different techniques to use, so then your web server should be a bit more like this, right? But it's not, you know, not enough to do anything. So a little bit of background. He had touched. I think at the time as a senior security architect that I applied for this, we had a reorg. Now I'm a principal security architect, Fortune 500. I was directly involved with defending against Operation Ababil. Probably a lot of you guys have heard of that since you're dealing with DDoS. Cisco Ninja works in threat intelligence, been a long time member of Soldier X. I'm kind of like, I've been with Soldier X a long time with doing more of the back end stuff. And I've also, I guess, kind of known as like the, back in the 90s at least, the only guy dumb enough to use his real name instead of a handle in the group. Because everybody's, you know, has hacker aliases. Quick disclaimer, opinions, ideas, solutions, all this stuff is from us. It's not from our employers or representative of them whatsoever. And just since we have DEF CON kids now, you know, we do have some explicit language and, you know, pictures and some of the slides. So just a heads up. What we're going to cover, of course, requirements, have a bit of introduction, show the attack landscape. Then we have basically two parts that we defend on. So you have like the network side and then the web defense side. So you can actually try to protect it at the network layer, or you can actually do it on the web server. And kind of, I always think it's important for defense in depth, especially depending on like what technologies you have or what your company will let you do. Like maybe your company says, hey, you can't use Snort inline, or you can't have this or have that. So basically we try to give you a whole slew of things. You know, you get enough of those and you should be good. We're also gonna go over reacting to an attack, because it seems like a lot with these big companies, you know, the website goes down and just everybody starts freaking out. It's like instead of actually like properly reacting, they're just like, oh my God, it's the end of the world, the website's down, what do we do? Then at the end, try to get like some best practices, put everything together, and if we actually have time, we wanna do like basically story time, some fun stuff that's happened with Soldier X. You know, obviously we put that at the end so you guys get like the information that's actually useful to you, since, you know, fun stories aren't really that useful to you. So for requirements, for examples, with SoldierX we use Linux, but you know Linux, Unix, Apache 2 is the web server we use, Python and Perl for the scripts that we have. For our monitoring system, it actually runs on a Raspberry Pi because it's, you know, it's like 5 watts of power, and we have a 16x2 LCD. As you can see at the bottom, basically says, "Hey, SoldierX is up, SoldierX is down," and that monitoring tool is actually should be on the DEF CON CD. It's also in the, if you look at the first slide, has like the SoldierX address. It's in that directory as well. So you should have Snort in line if possible. There's also, we're going to give an example with an F5. F5 is kind of expensive load balancer, so we're not necessarily saying that you need to have that, but I know some people don't have Snort. Some of you might have Suricata. We're not actually giving examples for that, but you should, using like, you know, the stuff that we show, be able to build your own Suricata rules as well. Network Sniffer. Hardware if possible. It's important a lot of the times when these attacks are going on to actually like see what's coming in versus just speculating. And then of course you need critical thinking skills. I mean DDoS is not, there's no real silver bullet, right? So it's you need to be able to adapt as your attackers adapt. So why this talk is relevant that we feel, at least since 2010 from what I can see, layer 7 is on the rise. Operation Ababil, for those familiar, you know, it's an attack from the Middle East because there was a YouTube video that was offensive some of the Islamic people. Basically, they said, okay, YouTube has this video up. Unless if YouTube takes it down, we're going to attack all the financial infrastructure. So they hit all the big banks in the United States. Obviously, the banks have no say-so on what YouTube hosts, but that was their mentality. So basically, also, there's DDoS seems to be one of the preferred methods of hacktivists. Or like he said, you know, somebody has like an issue with something on the SoldierX site, instead of emailing us, they're just like, oh, I'm going to DDoS the shit out of that site. Like, you know, this is how I'm going to react. And you're like, okay, I'm being hit. You don't even know why half the time. So what kind of spawned this talk is I went to Cloudflare's talk last year, and they, you know, showed a lot of cool attacks. And then kind of were like, okay, the solution is get Cloudflare. And I was like, ah, it's not, you know, that doesn't really like resonate with me. So we actually did try that. We actually did get Cloudflare. We still even have our DNS going through Cloudflare. And so there's a cost factor. There's also like, it's security through obscurity, really. I mean, if they know your IP address, then they just DDoS your IP address. And for like SoldierX, for instance, the website will leak the IP address. You know, you sign up for a new account, sends an email out, you look at the email, boom, there's the IP address. Now, you know, Cloudflare could say, oh, you need the separate server, you need this, you need that, but, you know, we're like, you know, basically a nonprofit, you know, community security hobbyist. We don't, you know, we're not trying to build this infrastructure to make sure it works with Cloudflare. There's also historical records that people could use if, you know, you're, let's say maybe you're a big company, you have, you know, like a /16, well, you're probably not just gonna move that because you need Cloudflare. You've also got DNS brute forces. I don't know if you guys have heard of NOC. That's like I saw it on some of the Russian forums that actually just brute forces A records. And last but not least, old technique is a pointer record. So, you know, you get like an IP range, scan all the pointer records. Well, if you have pointer records set up, guess what? They get your IP. So for us, it didn't really work. In one funny situation with our Entropy server, Cloudflare was actually passing the Git, like they were doing this Git flood going after large PDFs, and Cloudflare actually just passed that attack traffic onto our server, and so the server is still going down. And then you get this like, you know, error 522, Cloudflare is fine, but your website's not. And last but not least, privacy concerns. So what this talk is, it's a real world look, right? All these are actual real examples. None of this stuff's made up for this talk. We actually take SoldierX logs. The only thing that we obfuscate is like IP addresses of non-attackers. We actually obfuscate, you know, they weren't attacking our site. We don't want to give their IPs during this talk. We also have free code, examples, and of course a bit of humor at DDoSers, because, you know, kind of try to keep this interesting. I know defense can be a pretty dry topic. So what this talk is not, a silver bullet to solve all DDoS attacks, a political stance on DDoS, of course not a cry for people to DDoS us even more. I'm sure people are going to watch this on YouTube and be like, oh, you know, screw these guys, I'm DDoSing the shit out of this site. And yeah, we're not selling you a product. So let's see, the attack landscape. So you have the amplification attacks, which basically biggest pipe wins. We're not covering that. You know, if they have a bigger, more bandwidth than you that's coming in, then you go down. What we're going after is the HTTP DDoS. I guess you're about to get a shot for a...
No.
Or maybe I am too.
As you guys know the drill. First time speakers do a shot. Some love for our first time speaker.
This is actually my fourth time speaking.
But his first time. So right.
Oh, wait, give me that.
You already given it to me.
Cheers to DEF CON. Cheers.
As you were.
So back to saying the HTTP DDoS is our focus, usually in the form of large GET POST requests. They'll go after like large PDF files. They'll try to hit expensive queries. So if you have like search functionality, whatever on your website, they're going to hit that. And of course, there's for layer 7, there's other application DDoS attacks. We're not covering those. Those are kind of future fun. If SolDirect starts getting hit with that stuff, you know, maybe give a talk about it in the future. But right now, it's not going on. So why do they do it? So this, you know, this is my stance. They have a lack of skill necessary to do an intrusion. You know, they can't break into our site, so they're like, I'm going to DDoS, you know, DDoS the shit out of that place. Could be some people view it as political protest. I don't think it's peaceful protest since you're, you know, actually taking a site down, but some people see it that way. I like little slides says I don't always participate in DDoS attacks, but when I do, I use links meant to trick people into joining, and that's unwilling participation, which actually has happened. Or my favorite for you guys in the web comics, the John Gabriel from Penny Arcade has the greater internet fuckwad theory, which is that you take a normal person, give an anonymity, put an audience in front of them, they become just total fuckwad. And so that's and actually we'll get back to one of the methods with SolDirect is we've actually publicly shamed some of these people if we can get attribution. And it actually seems to have worked really well, which kind of led me to say, you know, this theory has some has a good point to it. So with layer 7 DDoS, it drives down the cost of a DDoS, right? The attackers have a very high return on investment. They don't need a lot of bandwidth. It evades most current carrier mitigations, and they can really like take down your site with minimal effort. I mean, we've seen sites taken down through Tor, which you know isn't all that fast. So our goal then is drive up attacker cost, reduce the defensive cost, so we're trying to teach you techniques rather than sell you products. Mitigate when possible. You know, you can't, may not always be able to mitigate, but you can at least drive up those costs. And then get people just thinking about solutions to this problem. And then we have, you know, the famous quote with the give a man a fish, teach a man to fish. So first, let's get into an example attack. Important note with the Alcazom cyberfighters, a lot of stuff I can't tell you because of, you know, where I work and basic agreements that I've made. But if there's people from like the financial sector or something, you know, get a hold of me afterwards and if I can verify you, I could give you a lot more information on this if you need it. So basically, Operation Ababil is a large-scale DDoS attack via a PHP-based botnet, which they called Brobot, against American financial institutions. Now, if you look at the first thing, I don't know, it's probably pretty small, but basically you have the WordPress, Joomla, some CMS site. It was actually a really clever, really small backdoor where you see like if they call the PHP directly, JExec won't be defined, so it's going to say, hey, die with restricted access. What they change it to is so like if JExec's not defined, then die by evaluating a base64 encoded blob on CID. So you basically like pass a base64 encoded, you know, attack script and boom, it goes. You know, it does your bidding. And so there's a couple pieces of example code. You can kind of get an idea. Like if you see the first example, it's not really a proper proper request. The way that it's set up doesn't give a lot of data. Then as you see the second example, they actually tried to randomize the referrer and the user agent, tried to do a more proper HTTP request, generated some fake IPs for exported for client IP, stuff like that. On SolDirect, which, you know, we can basically give you anything we want from SolDirect. We have our usage policy is that if you're attacking our site, we can share your information. If, you know, if you're just visiting, then we won't. But if you're attacking us, we'll do whatever we want with it. So, yeah, so one was kind of weird, I thought. It was like critical mass. There's like this dirty panties picture where it's like him and some girl at DEF CON, like back at the Alexis Park. And so somebody actually did a DDoS trying to like grab that picture over and over. There was this other one is like kind of like a seemingly, you know, random just requests with just all these characters. Then you have some other, like this Vox Laws guy, which we'll get into that, which may not have been Vox Laws. That's just in his user agent. You know, it says, fuck you, motherfucker, tango down, gives his Twitter address, which could not be him at all. Could be somebody wanting to set him up, but that's what was in there. And then last but not least, you have just like hitting a random slash node. This was my favorite though. This doesn't really like have a whole lot of purpose, but I just liked it. I'm firing my Desu. This is like a single request. I mean, like, look at the log. Like, what is this? It's just... I would really like if the guy who did this attack, I'd like give him a drink or something. This has just made me laugh for so long. But so, going in then to the network defense, your carrier has some capabilities. So you can tell them like blacklist malicious IP addresses. You could limit packet sessions, bandwidth per second per IP. You know, that can be pretty useful if they can do it. Black hole, a protocol, or port. A lot of times, if you see like these weird UDP floods, I know that ends up being fairly effective. You know, that's not really what we're covering, but I just wanted to throw that in there because we're trying to really be as exhaustive as we can on this talk to really give you guys like, you know, a good idea about this stuff. You can use IPS like Snort or Suricata. It's often ideal as long as you know they're not using SSL. You can actually drop that traffic before it even hits your web server. So that's pretty good. And load balancers, of course, like F5 is kind of pricey. I saw them at Black Hat. I guess now they're like advertising their free DDoS, whereas before they were just a load balancer. But you know you can actually use the iRules and it supports regular expressions and end up blocking that traffic there as well. Firewalls, you got IP tables, blacklist IP addresses. A lot of people talk about geographic blocking. I've not really seen that work very well, but I mean, depending on who your attacker is, maybe it might kind of work for you. It really depends on your adversary and who's coming after you. We do blacklist EGI hosting because I don't know like if that hosting company is just really insecure or what, but like if I remove that block, like Soldrex just starts getting hit like crazy with it. I've got to keep talking to them. Finally, I think they've actually blacklisted from their side as well to stop their network from talking to ours. I'm like, I don't know what's with you guys. Like, I unblock you, just reboot a server. So I'm like, boom, here it comes from EGI hosting. You can limit, your packet sessions bandwidth per second per IP on your level too. So back to like a good SCID friend, Voxlaws. May not have been Voxlaws, so that's what we'll refer to him as. You see, he's got this nice fancy user agent of fuck you, motherfucker, Tango down. So how we block him with Snort inline. Right? You got a simple Snort rule you can go through. Yeah. That we had to have the humor to try to keep you guys awake. Like I said, I always give offensive talks. I do like reverse engineering and exploitation. It seems to be kind of easy to keep people's attention, but this stuff to me is kind of dry. So we try to keep you a little entertained. But so you have the the Snort inline, and you can stop them there. Then it doesn't even reach the web server. If you've got an F5 load balancer, then you see the iRules right there, so you could block them at that point. You've got also, he came from EGI hosting, so we have that block where you just block their whole /24. And you've also got the limiting connections with IP tables. So this, like I said, all these are real world examples. You could copy, paste them, use them, modify them, just kind of get you in the mindset of how to do this stuff. So with network defense, I also wanted to mention blocking Tor. It says, well, wasn't Tor too slow to take you down? Well, no, actually, like Hack3R is a group we used to do stuff with, and they were taken down in 2013, then again in 2014 via Tor. So we have a script. This is modified from another website. All the stuff, anything that we borrowed or like used from anywhere will be at the end in the references section. So all this stuff's referenced. We don't want to like steal anyone's credit, but this is modified from a site. And this will basically go through, get a list from dan.me.uk, and then build an IP tables rule and block it. And I don't know like how many companies have issues with Tor, but I know like at least a place that I work, we see a ton of attacks coming from it. I mean, it's no real reason for us to have it. Like I said, Tor, people say, oh, it's a great thing. I don't disagree with that, but there may not be any point. If you're a bank or you sell things, I mean, someone's giving up their identity when they buy something from you or when they log into their bank account. Is there really a reason for them to use Tor to do that? And it's a question that I propose. So aside from just the blocking side, it's also important for a lot of people for network monitoring to really figure out, am I under attack? Or maybe your company might say, I would like to know if we're being attacked, but I don't really trust you just putting this in line and blocking. We might block customers, we might, whatever. So then you can just basically, same Snort rule, but you just have it do an alert instead of a drop. So that way, you just get notified of it. With the F5, what I always do is I just comment out the drop, and then you can still go in there, get the notification, see that you are being attacked, but it doesn't actually drop it. And then next we're get into, for monitoring software, we have RoboAmp. which Rat of SoldierX wrote. I'm actually surprised my phone hasn't gone off. I really expected, because when we announced this talk, we started getting DDoS like crazy. So I was like, I really expect the site to go down during this talk. My phone started going crazy and telling me like, hey, the site's down. But I don't know. I guess I'm lucky. So runs on a Raspberry.
What's that?
Runs on a Raspberry Pi, uses less or equal 5 watts of power, displays the status on a little 16 by 2 LCD. Now, you don't need to have an LCD to do this. That's just if you want the display. It actually sends an SMS message to the SX staff if there's a disruption. You have the options. Basically, you have a ping check, which isn't probably as useful in today's, you know, if you're talking layer 7, your website's just going to kind of like the database or whatever is going to go down and give an error message. You're not actually, that ping check's not going to do a whole lot for you, but we left it in there just in case you're worried about that whole, like, you know, massive attack that actually takes down the network. The deep check, actually what it does is looks at the website, and then you can specify a regular expression for, like, basically what your it means if your site's offline. Because I know some companies don't actually say, we're offline. They just say, oh, you know, we're doing a little bit of maintenance, we'll be right back. They don't, you know, they don't want to acknowledge that they've been DDoS, so this supports that as well. So then after that, we go back to Web Defense, or on to Web Defense. And like I said, we use Apache 2 at SoldierX, so that's going to be our focus. You can use like HT access, for example. A lot of people seem to like, why do you use HT access? But you can actually, you know, protect files, directory listings, you can block user agents. There's other clever things that we'll get into, like you could redirect a bad request back to themselves, or maybe you want to redirect them to somewhere like FBI.gov. Like I said too, you know, SoldierX is basically a hobby security group. We can do a lot of things that, you know, as a company you wouldn't want to do, but it's all in good fun. So mod evasive is the equivalent if you're an IIS shop, dynamic IP restrictions from Microsoft. Essentially, this is one of the critical things that I would say to use, because you can actually, like, you're throttling how fast they can hit your site. And at the end of the day, without looking into the traffic, that's ultimately what you're going to do to drive up attacker cost. Say, well, you know, user agent seems weird and whatever, you know, this limiting seems weird. Did this really work? Well, you have to know your enemy. So why? I mean, you've got these subset of anonymous with F5 armed against us. You've got a basement dwelling 12-year-olds armed with the Git flood script posted to Pastebin last Tuesday hitting us. I mean, this is pretty much how we view our enemy, at least at SoldierX. So getting into some of those examples, with HT access, you know, that's an easy way to block Vox laws. Or get a little bit more creative, use mod rewrite. There's to redirect them to himself, redirect them somewhere more interesting, FBI.gov, like it says, the FBI party van. Somehow it's a lot more funny when it's not parked in your driveway. And then we just give you a mod evasive sample config. The thing I'd like to add is that if, like, any of this stuff, you know, you copy paste it, whatever, you have issues with it, you know, I'm not going to work for you for free or whatever and, like, do all this work for you, but I'll be happy to take, like, stuff that I've already written and put it in that directory on the site if you guys have access to that. Just, you know, I'll give an email at the end of this as well as IRC and whatnot, just to try to help you guys, you know, get started on this. So then moving on to Feldaban. Feldaban is actually designed to protect against brute force attacks by looking at error logs. But what we've actually done is, and this is by no means new, there's other people doing this as well, just not a lot of people it seems. You can point it at your access logs for your web server and then use it for DDoS defense. So if you remember the random pattern from earlier, if you notice the attacker didn't seed it right, so you see it's already like repeated. But then you also see I highlighted the equal mark. So when we get into that, you can turn a randomized DDoS attempt into worthless attempt. And what we ended up seeing was that it's a capital letter A through Z, 99 of those, then an equal sign, and then A to Z, another 99 of those. You just, you know, set your regex, have our notes, you know, no DDoS for you, and boom, blocks them with IP tables when they start, you know, hit you with that. Once it sees one of those, puts them in IP tables. I think I've got them, I think we blocked them for like 24 hours. You could do, you know, whatever, however long you want. But to add on some additional ideas, you have server caching or web caching. So that actually, you know, it's, a lot of this stuff turns out to be kind of like performance enhancements. So it's good anyways, but it actually ends up helping a lot with DDoS. I think a lot of the issues with layer 7 DDoS is just nobody was really hitting our websites, so we had expensive queries, or we had this, or we had that, but it wasn't really a problem for us. It's more or less like, oh, you know, the search is a little slow, but you know, then someone like hits it, you know, get, or post, you're like, oh crap, freaking website's down. So with SolDirex, we use Boost. I've talked to some people that actually use Squid Proxy for caching. They said that's worked pretty well for them. There's some other Apache defenses that people mentioned to me. Like I said, if we don't use it, then we don't give examples, because we're not going to try to like just make some theoretical stuff up and say, oh, this works, and we don't know. But you have a mod bandwidth share to throttle the bandwidth per IP. You've got limit IP connection to limit the number of simultaneous connections from your IP. And there's people using like CAPTCHA or JavaScript, those type of things to actually try to detect, is this a bot or is this a person? So then also for your programmers, you know, you really need, if you have a website that has these different queries, try to talk to your developers. They need to really get onto this stuff of like, you know, strict validation, filter user input, properly release resources, because you know you don't want like eating up all the memory. Set limits. So you have session limits, token expiration, loop counters, concurrent sessions per token per IP address. Expensive queries should be limited, you know, per IP address. It doesn't make sense if you know you have a really expensive query, why would you let someone hit it like, you know, 50 times a second? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Cache the results of those queries when possible. Like what Boost does is it'll, you know, anything someone goes to its PHP, it then generates an HTML file. So, you know, boom, there they go. They just get the HTML file instead of running the query over and over and over. Optimize your database structure. Like I always say, you know, I have a CS background. You should be testing. So you should be testing your code against denial of service or you know, distributed denial of service. And if that should be part of quality assurance in your organization, because I mean this is something that it seems to just be just the mindset of these guys. They're just gonna come in and DDoS you if you know you do anything they don't like, or they might just do it for fun. So it should really be part of your testing. And if you know if anybody needs like some sample code, whatever, like I said, I can put it in that directory and you can use that to help test in your organization.
Testing, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, that picture says that, you know, I don't always code, but when I do it in production.
Yeah.
So on to reacting to an attack. I always say don't panic. Like when I've seen these attacks, you have people basically like, you know, throwing their hands in the air like, oh my God, what? You know, what's going on? The website's down. You know, there is no internet. So also verify it's an attack. Funny, you know, I'm not going to say which company, but, you know, FIFA was on. And so you're like, oh my God, like we're being DDoS. And it's like, no, it's just your employees watching FIFA via HD on YouTube.
1080p.
And read the logs. It's amazing to me how many people don't actually read logs. You know, web logs are good. They'll actually give you a bit of insight into what people are doing. If you see like some IP just, you know, pounding away and you see all these requests, that's a pretty good indication you're attacked rather than just, you know, oh, what's going on? Website's down. So getting the top talkers, blocking all malicious ones. There's a, you know, quick thing from the command line you can do to give you, you know, all the IPs and how many requests per IP if you're in Linux, of course, like we said. And you need some sort of reputation system, especially if you're sharing with other organizations. I know I've seen cases with financial sector where data is being shared out and you look in this top talkers block on these and it's like, oh, it's tax time and Intuit's in here. Like, you know, of course, everyone's using TurboTax. They're not DDoSing you. It's just, you know, it's freaking tax time. Or, you know, other, you know, organizations that, you know, query data from you. So we use a homegrown tool that we call Reputator. I'm going to show you a little bit of output from that. So in a top talkers example, this is I like this picture. Be mindful about stereotypes. Only one of them is a convicted felon. But I mean, that's how this stuff goes, though. You know, people are just taking this assumption like, oh, whoever's generating all this traffic with my web server must be malicious. This is, you know, it's not true. So this is an example that we used for the Daisu attack. As we actually go through, and like I said, we're masking all the IPs that aren't actually attacking. And you want to decide on a cutoff. So if you see on the left is the actual number of requests that they've done, on the right is the IP. So we decided like 1,000 is probably a good cutoff. So you run it through, and I don't know how well you guys can see that, but I'll try to explain it. Run it through Reputator. And also, one thing Reputator does is it also, you want to grab the list of Tor nodes, because we like to know if somebody's Tor or if they're, you know, not Tor, because it's kind of useful information. So you kind of get a rating that we put between good and evil. And if you look, like, of course, locals like RoboAmp, which actually Amp is in the audience if he wants to stand up, raise his hand. The reason it's named RoboAmp is that every time the site went down, like, Amp would like hit up everybody. He's like, hey, the site's down. What's going on? And I was like, man, this is crazy. So when Rat wrote the tool, he ended up naming it RoboAmp because he's like, Amp is the one that always hits me up. So it's like the robot version of him. And he's always texting, so it's good that it texts. But back to the top talkers, if you look, so we have the good, and the next highest talker is rated as evil. And then we look back to the log and we see, hey, that was the Daisu attacker. So, you know, it's pretty good. And then there's some other evils up there. Those guys actually were... they were going around the site trying to do stuff, but it wasn't DDoS, so I still masked their IP, but they were still up to no good. And then, of course, reacting to an attack, like I said, read logs, look for patterns that you can use for, like, Feldaban or whatever blocking system you're going to have in place. Often, very early on, blocking user agents and IPs, like, I'm not a fan of, like, blacklisting IPs, but very early on, right when the attack's going on, sometimes that can be what you need to do right away to keep your site online. Then beyond that, like I say, use Sniffer and Wireshark if you can. SSL, of course, is an issue. Like, are you using RSA? Well, if you're not using an RSA and you're using DSA, that has, you know, forward secrecy, so you can't actually see that traffic. But if you are using RSA in your organization, are they going to give you their private key? I mean, you know, maybe. But if you can get that, then you can look at it. And then from that, you know, Snort, F5, Suricata, et cetera, you can block at the network level, which is often a little bit more intensive work-wise, but can have a better payoff because it never even reaches the web server. So, can you find the difference? I love that picture. But so this is, a Sniffer plus Wireshark example. So the first one, if you see this kind of in blocks, so there's three. The first one is an actual legitimate web request, which you say, okay, you know, has the carriage return the new line. The second one is a popular Perl DDoS application. So if you look, it doesn't have the carriage return, just does, you know, git flood, HTTP 1.1. It's basically has nothing. Pretty easy to see that that's not valid. Then after that, you have an attack tool that uses PyCurl, a Python DDoS tool, and that one, it's better. It has a carriage return, has a new line, but if you look, like, the variables don't quite like match up what a browser would. They're out of order. So there's all these little things that really is like you look at and actually use your head and then get, you know, rules written to stop these attacks. So then after an attack, if an attack was effective, why was it effective? You know, you need to brainstorm an organization. You need to do a lot of testing. Deploy these defenses. Like I said, I mean, I'm not going to work for your company for free or whatever, but I'll happily anything in here, you know, put online, let you use that as a good good base to get started. And just test your network against a similar attack until your defenses are effective. You know, don't wait for the attacker to come to you. I mean, this is part of like the SolDirect stuff. Anytime we see this stuff where, you know, we write tools to duplicate the attack and we just pound on the servers and make sure our defenses actually work. The controversial thing that I guess it keeps coming back up in the news, so it's Hackback. And so we do have some forum users that have hacked the DDoSers that we could get attribution on with some success. And, you know, it's kind of amusing, some of the stories. I have a quote from Jeff Barden. I'm not actually going to read that one because I don't really think hacking back is good. But, you know, some people may like it. So I actually think it's not a good idea in general. And that's where I quote Jericho, Brian Martin of Attrition. I'll actually read that. So if a company can't do defense correctly, why do you think they can do offense right? And if you can easily and positively attribute, they shouldn't have breached your defenses. You have no business attacking them when you were negligent on defense 101. And I agree with that. Like, if you can 100% say who's attacking you and why they got through, like, that doesn't make any sense. You should have had defense in place. So, but shame. Back to the... John Gabriel's theory. Shame has actually worked really well on SolDirects. It seems like we have these guys, they hit the site really hard, we actually come in and through, we have a really good guy does data analytics, and so he has this data analytics platform that runs on the site, and when we actually can get positive attribution, if you name those people out, it's like instantaneously they stop attacking you. So, I mean, I think for most companies, you probably can't do that, but it's interesting to think about. So then tying this stuff together with some best practices is, like I said, the most important thing, I think, is limiting connections. Because when you do that, you're driving up costs. If somebody has to have like a botnet of whatever size, then you're driving it up by that much more. Have some ways to intelligently block bad traffic. So snort inline, fail to ban, whatever. You know, you need some way. So if somebody's actually a little bit brighter and has some pretty good attack, you need to be able to identify that and block it. Have sniffers in place. You know, I've seen organizations where they don't, and it's like you're getting attacked, and like, oh, we got to get sniffers in place and figure this out. And it's like, you should already have it in place. You know, you're going to need to look at that. And tune your web server, database, everything for performance. One of the things, like log tuning, people are like, what's log tuning? It's like, you know, you should have where you're getting things like client IPX forwarded for should be in your logs. You probably don't want to log small static content like CSS, JS, text. I mean, if it's PDF or maybe large pictures, you probably want to log that because it could be used in an attack. But a CSS file, JS file isn't, so why log that? It's just, you know, all you're doing is making your web server take up that many more resources trying to log all that. You should remove or limit the search functionality if not needed. I mean, you could replace it with Google search or at least require users to log in. I mean, that's how Hack3R was taken down. The people just hit their search functionality and held the site down for days, and you know, everybody's laughing about it. Avoid hosting large public files when you can, like large PDF GET requests. That, you know, that still goes on. So if you can not have those public, that's ideal. I know sometimes you have to. Having a monitoring service like RoboAmp, I know a lot of you guys may pay for something, but RoboAmp's free. You can set that up and actually get notification when the site goes down. So you're like, okay, site's down, let's get on it, instead of like hearing about it from maybe your boss or whoever else, like, hey, I can't get to your site. And then sharing information has been really good for the financial sector. I think that if you can, you have similar companies, individuals, if you can share that sort of information, everybody kind of gets on the same page, gets those defenses in place, then you know, these guys will see that this stuff doesn't work anymore. So, don't have much time, and I want to have some time for questions, but I will do a little bit of story time. So VB is like the first guy that did this. He took the site down, I think, for like 5 minutes. This was before we had like anything in place. And he actually did it from his IP that his user account was from, so we were like able to do positive attribution pretty quick. And so there's this guy, hacker on the forum, I think he's like a reformed criminal or something, but the fixer got his IP that we posted on the forums. Turned out that VB's ISP used MikroTik routers. That's where the fixer used to work for. He knew there was a backdoor in the routers, so you know, he got into the guy's ISP, turned on remote PCAP, and basically laws ensued of all sorts of stuff that VB was doing, you know, who he was, and it was a good time. Ben Owens was interesting. This is a guy that actually, he wanted to have like access to the VIP forms, paid us, then like use like a stolen credit card and all this weird stuff. And he was like, oh, I don't want you guys to say that I did this. And it's like, well, you did do this, so it's on the site. And so he actually started to threaten the site, tried to blackmail them, proceeded to DDoS. More shame happened once we said, like, oh, this guy was DDoSing. Then he took off as well. There's been many a story of pizzas being ordered when there's attribution. The EGI hosting stuff I already covered. Plexor was the guy that, when we announced this talk, immediately the site started getting DDoSed. So I was like, is this like one of our friends like messing with us? No, it turned out to some guy that didn't like that we were giving a talk on this. And the last one I'll mention is like Scorpion was Operation Ababil. Cisco Ninja did a lot of hacker database work. So he had found some evidence that Scorpion was involved in Operation Ababil. So that got posted onto the hacker database. And all of a sudden, we saw some hits where there was this like black hat Middle Eastern forum, and they were like, oh, what is this? These Soldrex guys are saying Scorpion, you know, was involved in this. All of a sudden, site started getting hit with Operation Ababil tools. Wasn't actually hit from the Brobot, but it was hit with the same attack tools. And since I was actually defending against Operation Ababil, I'm like, okay, you really are in that, then you're using these tools. So you kind of gave yourself away. A little bit of thanks we'll give real quick. Anonymous network technicians, you know, obviously didn't want their names in here because everybody kind of thinks, so if you talk about DDoS, you're going to get DDoS, which may happen, but oh well. Rat for writing RoboAmp. AMP helped a lot with this, a lot of the fail to ban rules. The fixer that did some hacks, that's funny. Lattera, Spender, Snaggle, Shinobi, Kohelet, Everest, Jericho, Jeff Barden, Rhapsody, and the entire Soldrex.com community, to include IRC Soldrex.com, and of course, the DDoS kids, like, honestly, it's a lot of entertainment for me. So I had a lot of fun at your expense. references, of course, for you guys to use. And then this is our contact information if you want to reach out to us. This is where the data is. And then I think we have like a few minutes for questions.